Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned once again for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. So glad that you've joined us in Madison, North Florida, all the way up into Georgia where this broadcast reaches. If you're on the internet, keep you on the internet. We're glad that you're joining us by internet as WMAF streams via the internet to potentially anywhere in the United States of America, anywhere in the world. And we are so glad that you're joining us today. If you're joining us because you downloaded this particular edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today. And we pray that as we gather together around the Word of God, that God's Word is going to be a peculiar, particular blessing to you today. That is going to specifically address something in your life, and I believe that God's Word is designed to do just that. Hallelujah. So that's why we're going to His Word for the instructions that we need to live effectively, victoriously in these last days, prophetically, that we are living in. I tell my congregation all the time that we who are tested and troubled and shocked and rocked by all the things that are happening in the culture and in the world about us, we are indeed, in spite of all of these things, we are in the kingdom for a time such as this. God knew we would be a generation that would be here on this planet, in this time and this place, under these conditions. And He's giving, I believe, a special grace and mercy to us, a sustaining strength to us to be effective for Him and in our walk with Him, even in this day that we are living. Praise God. So we have a message of hope, a message of great import. So stay tuned. Take time. This is time well invested to gather around the Word of God. And if you're not a Christian today and you're being shocked and rocked by what you see and hear, please stay tuned today and join with us. See where we are headed as Christians, what God is speaking to us to give us hope and give us courage, give us faith, even in these troubled times. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Psalm 46? Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. Many people have called Psalm 46 a centering psalm because it instructs us and informs us to help us to trust the Lord and to find His peace and rest in the midst of trouble. That's why we have titled this particular teaching, Staying Christ-Centered in a World Filled with Trouble. Today, all you have to do is turn on the news, pick up the newspaper, read the news over the internet, pick up a periodical, talk to someone at work, whether it's happening internationally, nationally, or personally. On every hand there is trouble and tumult. The Bible described the last of the last days, the beginning of the very tribulation period that would come and that precedes it, that there would be a distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. This is a terrible time of tumult. The Bible speaks very clearly that in the last days, perilous times would come, outrageous times. We are living in those times. And that's why it's so important that we hear instruction from the Lord of how to live effectively, victoriously, and to live as a witness and a testimony that the God that is keeping us in times like these is available to anyone who will come to Him and call upon Him. He has provided a lamb. He has given His Son as a Savior. And there is peace in the time of trouble and there is peace in the midst of the storm, because God has made Himself available to you and available to me for such a time as this as well. Praise God. All right, if you have your Bibles, let's read about this. God is our refuge and strength, Psalm 46 and verse 1 declares, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, verse 7 declares. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. When Christ comes, make no mistake about it, all of the killing and the hurt and the hate is going to end. You know, the Bible said when His kingdom is made manifest upon this earth through His coming and His earthly rule and reign, that they will beat their weapons into instruments of agriculture for harvesting. Praise God. Amen. They will beat their swords into pruning hooks and their spears into plows. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Listen, the reason he will be exalted among the heathen, exalted in the earth, is according to this psalm, the way that he provides for and protects his people. The way that he provides for and protects his people. Praise God. It is so vitally important to the exaltation of his name in all the earth that we as his covenant people have a trust relationship with him. That our focus in the time of trouble is always God, that we are not distracted and we are not discouraged and we are not disillusioned. And we are not like so many others. You know, the Bible said we are not like others who have no hope. The Bible speaks of everyone that doesn't know Christ as their Savior and know God through Christ, reconciling sacrifice at the cross, that everyone upon this planet is without hope and without God in this present world. Friend of mine, the Christian today that has set their hope in Jesus Christ, that is focused in God and not the circumstances of their life, is finding a peace that sets them apart from the world about them. You can't buy this peace. You can't find it in a bottle, in a syringe, in a pill. It is not available in any drug, illegal or not. It is only available through a resting faith and a trust in Jesus Christ. A word that you're going to hear more and more is the word centered. In the wrong sense, it can be used of just focusing the mind or the thought processes alone on something or someone while pursuing inner peace. In the right sense, it can be claimed by Christians as focusing on our God in the time of crisis or great trouble, putting our trust exclusively in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Deliverer. The Bible teaches in the New Covenant that we're to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And in the actual Greek, it would connotate and read this way, looking away from all that will distract and setting your gaze upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. You have to look away from everything that distracts and set your gaze upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Comforted by verse 7 of Psalm 46, John Wesley courageously met the approach of his own demise, his death as according to the flesh. He quoted it the night before his decease, and he was heard repeating its promise all through the night hours. The Lord of hosts is with us, is what he declared. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Hallelujah. Psalm 46 has been designated as Luther's psalm, because the great reformer and preacher who was accustomed to singing it in the time of trouble paraphrased verse 1 in his hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God." I just want to read the verses of "A mighty fortress is our God." You know, the Bible said, amen, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Hallelujah. We need that place of refuge, that safe place where we can rest in Him in the midst of the storms of life, in the midst of the terror and the tumult that's all about us. We must learn how to focus upon Him. There's so many distractions in this fast-paced world that seems to pull at us at every opportunity to try to break our focus upon God and put it upon the trouble and the testing and the temptations. The pull of the world is strong, but the very trouble that this world and the tumult that this world is experiencing right now around the globe should actually help us to be centered in our God and put our trust exclusively in Jesus Christ. Listen to these words that Luther wrote based on this psalm. "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal." Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Don't ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath, His name. From age to age, the same. And He must win the battle. Oh, listen to this next verse, friend. "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth." That word is the name of a person. It's clear here. And that person is Jesus Christ. "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, this body they may kill. God's truth abideth still, His kingdom is forever." Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what Psalm 46 is all about. In the time of trouble, we are to focus on God and on Jesus Christ our Savior. In the time of testing and temptation, we are to run to Him, not run from Him. It is so hard to stay centered in a world filled with disruption and distraction. But I want you to know, friend, God is calling His people to look on, as David said, "I'll look unto the hills from whence cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord." Praise God. There's no peace like the peace that comes and floods our soul when we are centered in our faith, when we are focused upon the source of our salvation, of our provision, and our protection, when the God of Jacob is our refuge and our strength. Fear has to go, for faith rises up. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge. God is our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And when we sense that His provision, His promise, His protection, His power, His covering is upon us as His covenant people, we will not be fearful. We will not live our life wringing our hands with worry, but raising our hands in praise for a God that said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you every step of the way." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the great things that distinguishes the Christian is his belief in God. Psalm 46 begins with two words. The first verse of that psalm, amen, has two words that are the foundation for all of our faith and our trust. And those two words, God is. God is. We believe as Christians that there really is a God. There's one God, only one true living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This means that even if the Christian was alone in the world, an Adam without an Eve, or an Eve without an Adam, even if the Christian was alone in the world, he would still have someone to turn to, and someone who loved him because he believes that God is. Jesus said literally in the New Covenant, "He who's seen me has seen the Father." So he was declaring that the Son is the revelation of the Father. The world with a million fingers points toward the fact of God, but in Jesus Christ, we meet Him face to face. Here's the first important lesson from Psalm 46. God is. Faith begins with the acknowledgement of the reality of God's existence, and not only that, that this God is our God, and He loves us, and He listens to us when we pray. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. "But without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that," listen, "He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." If it's wonderful that there is a God, and that life therefore has meaning and death need not be the end, if it is wonderful that there is a God, it is more wonderful by far to begin to grasp and understand what He is like and what He is to us because of who He is. Amen. Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And in Psalm 46, it is declared that God is our refuge. He is, the psalmist tells us, our refuge in the time of danger, our strength in the time of testing. Of course, He can only be this to the degree that we trust Him. But as we trust Him, and insofar as we trust Him, that's what we will find Him to be. Hallelujah. Jehovah God, says the psalmist, is our refuge. And as Christians, today in the New Covenant, we can trust God to be a refuge for you and a refuge for me. I love the song by Augustus Toplady, a great Christian who lived in the 17th century. And it is said as he traveled from one province to another, from one community to another, on foot, he was caught in a violent thunderstorm. And seeking refuge from the lightning and the wind and the rain, he found a great rock, and he found a cleft in the rock. And he pushed himself deep into that cleft and was completely safe and secure till the storm passed over. While in that rock, he thought about what God was to him. Amen. And he penned the words, the mighty faith-filled, hope-filled, peace-filled words. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Praise God. I'm telling you, God has always been faithful to be a refuge to the people who put their trust in Him. And in order to keep your trust in Him, you have to set your gaze upon Him. Not the tumult, not the trouble, not the temptation or the tempter, but upon God Himself. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. As Christians, we can and we must trust God as our refuge. Praise God. Because bound up in His nature and character is the desire to provide safety and refuge for people like you and like me, especially in those times, and they will come to everyone when we feel the crushing onset of crisis. God knows that when bad times come our way, sometimes what we need most is a place to flee, somewhere that we can feel safe and catch our breath and recover ourselves. One of the most beautiful word pictures of this comforting truth is in Psalm 91 and verse 4, where it says, God will shield you with His wings. Now, I know most of you have never spent much time on a farm. Maybe some of you have in cowboy country up in North Florida, but maybe you saw a chicken documentary on the Animal Planet. And if you did, you know that when a mother hen becomes aware of a predator or a threat to her offspring, she responds by lifting her wings. Within seconds, all the baby chicks disappear under them. And then, where there was once a doting hen and several cute little down-covered chicken nuggets, amen, there's now the predator sees nothing but one mean-looking mama who just dares him to take a step forward. She's a refuge for her children. She is their protection. Now, eventually the chicks will have to crawl out and face the real world again, but right now, they are covered for a little while. There's nothing like the soft shelter of those wings of their mom's feathers, caressing their heads, her warmth stilling their shakes, her heart steady beating, gradually calming their fears. And this psalm reminds us that God delights in spreading His protective wings and enfolding His frightened children. Hide here for a time, He says. Get out of danger. Regroup, recuperate, and find new strength. God is our refuge. God is our strength. He is a present help in the time of trouble. Jesus stood and looked over Jerusalem, and He knew what they didn't grasp yet, the terrible trouble and time that was coming to Jerusalem. And He groaned in His spirit. He wept over the holy city, and He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have taken you under my wings as a mother hen does her chicks? How many times would I have been a refuge for you, and you wouldn't let me? You wouldn't run to me. They literally ran from Him. Friend of mine, I'm going to tell you something. I don't see running to Jesus as running from the devil. I see it as running to God because what we know about Him. He invites us in the time of trouble to come to Him, to call upon Him, to put our trust in Him, to run to Him. The Bible says in the Old Covenant, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like Psalm 91:1. It said, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. That's why it is so important to let the Word of God help us to stay centered in our faith in God. God is lifting His wings right now for somebody. God is offering His covering right now to someone who's under the pressure of test, who is under the pressure of temptation, who is under the pressure of brokenness in your life and wondering, where do I turn? What do I do next? Don't turn to the needle, the syringe. Don't turn to the bottle. Don't turn to the drink or the drug. Run to God. If you're a sinner and your sins have brought you to this place, run to God for salvation. And after you're forgiven, and after that He becomes your heavenly Father and Christ your Savior, then turn to God for the peace, the keeping power, those wings that will cover over you. There's a peace, the Bible said, that passes all understanding. That means sometimes in the midst of circumstances that just absolutely threaten to undo us, that the chaos and the crisis threatens to tear us apart, a sweet, settled, confident calm can come over us when we put our trust in the Lord. Amen. It's a peace the Bible describes as peace that passes all understanding, that keeps the heart and the mind through Jesus Christ. Praise God. And that peace is available, peace with God initially, and then the peace of God can come into your heart and life. When it does, then there is a witness to this world. There is a witness to this world. It's how God provides for and protects His people. You know, the Bible said that God's people said, who has a God? In the Old Covenant, who has a God like our God? A God so nice in all that we call upon Him for. And the nations about them saw God's protection and God's provision and said, who has a God like their God? Today, I want to challenge you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to receive Him today, to invite Him into your heart and into your life, to confess your sins that He may cover you with His feathers today. Would you do that right where you are right now? I'm convinced that God is calling. I am convinced that He loves you. You know why? Because He gave His Son. He gave His Son to die upon the cruel cross at Calvary so that He could be there for you, so that you could run to Him and find sweet refuge in the time of trouble. Come to Jesus today and let God father you, protect you, provide for you, and let Jesus become the Prince of Peace in your heart and in your life. Today, if you're a Christian, you're under the pressure of tribulation and test, temptation. Run to God. Run to your Father's arms. Run to the wings of love that will close over you and shelter you. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?